Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to Inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on thesportsvirus.com and now on KNBR.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Toscalito Tire and Automotive, with four Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco, and Vallejo. Toscalito, more than just a tire store. We're also brought to you by Rita's of Hayward, serving Italian ice and frozen custard. Today from AT&T Park in San Francisco, we have two guests, Giants left-hander Matt Moore, who will get the start on Friday night against the St. Louis Cardinals, and Andy Baggerly from the Bay Area News Group. We'll start with Matt Moore. Matt, as you look forward to your start against the St. Louis Cardinals, tell us about what this team's thinking about going down the stretch. It's been, you know, it's kind of been up and down the last week or so, winning games, losing games, but now you got these clutch, you know, big games coming up against the Cardinals. How do you look at this series?
Just one game at a time. I think that's, you know, I think everybody in here kind of, you know, knows that there's no good in looking down the road that far. So I think, you know, we're all looking forward to watching Cueto work tonight and, you know, moving forward, just taking each day by day.
Well, you know, there's a lot of pressure to try to get into the postseason, but are you embracing it? Are you able to have fun with this? Because, you know, you were in a situation in Tampa Bay earlier this year. You guys were not really in the race, you know, and then you get traded over here. Even though there's pressure, are you enjoying it?
Yeah, of course. That's you'd rather have that type of, you know, you'd rather have those type of things going for you as opposed to, you know, kind of counting down the days left in the season. To, you know, for us in here, we're not sure exactly how late we're going to play. We all have pretty high goals of, you know, playing through the end of the playoffs. So it's something that, you know, I think for me, it is a big shot in the arm getting traded over here to a team in contention. And, you know, it's, you know, when you wake up in the morning, it's a little bit easier just to crawl right out of bed. You know, it's something that, you know, we got, you know, we have something real going on over here, and it's definitely a fight for us.
I think sometimes there's too much made by the media about a soft schedule or a hard schedule, whatever it is, this time of year. I mean, the teams that you're playing, like the San Diego Padres, they're still trying to win games. And, you know, they might be playing a looser brand of baseball. I don't know if that helped them in that series. But do you notice that with some of the teams that are out of it, that, you know, they're playing hard, they're trying too?
You know, you know, we've all been September call-ups at some point for the most part. And, you know, it's a time for you to impress. It's time for you to make a name for yourself heading into camp next year if your team's out of it this time. You know, so it's, I don't think there's any part of the season where you'd catch a guy, you know, bringing it more than the other. But I think just the adrenaline from young players being up, or a team that's, you know, just trying to rally to finish the season right. You know, at times I think, you know, playing a little bit looser and carefree can tend to be better. But, you know, for us over here, we're focused on tonight, and that's our attitude every night.
Let's talk about you. You've added the cutter to your repertoire here later in the season. I mean, how were you able to do that? Because usually it's pretty hard to add a pitch in the middle of the year. What made you do it, and how interesting was it to go about adding that in?
It was very interesting. You know, I think you know, it just feels like a new toy, you know, type of thing. When you're a kid and you get something, you wake up and, you know, your games of catch aren't as stale as they always are. And, you know, I was a three-pitch pitcher for my entire life up until this point, even well before that, you know, before I got a changeup, just a two pitch. But the changeup's something I've just fooled around with in the past. You know, I'm teammates with David Price for a while, and he's got, you know, one of the better ones in the game. And you know, so just being able to watch him work with his, it was never something I was able to, I was never in a good position to pick up another pitch when I was his teammate. I still was pretty raw with overall command, where now, you know, I feel like I'm you know, in a better place where I'm a little bit more familiar with, you know, what to do with that pitch and all my pitches.
Do you think that, you know, how did you learn the grip? I mean, and how did it come about that you started throwing it?
The grip was actually, it was probably when I was first coming back from Tommy John. I was just messing around and, you know, I had the basic idea and all that of how to throw a cutter. So it was just something in my game of catch. It started, you know, it started to act pretty good. And, moved it into the game, and I wasn't ready for it when I was pitching with it in 2015. But at the same time, it's something now that, you know, being around here, especially with Buster and Bum throwing his as much as he does, he's, you know, they give me confidence in it.
Well, obviously for right-handed batters, that's a tough one. You could be breaking their bats. And do you think also just the look of it, because if you're throwing them a changeup on one pitch away, then you come in with that cutter, and then they haven't seen it from you before. There might not be a lot of video of that, of you throwing that. How much of an advantage is that?
That's a big advantage. You know, that's most of these guys heading into the night, they know tendencies and where pitchers like to live at. So I think it's right now, my first four or five games being able to use it, I think it's been to my advantage. You know, as I'm, you know, I'm still figuring out the command, it's been to my advantage that it looks a lot like my fastball, and I've done a good job of being able to pitch off my fastball.
You have to throw it a lot in bullpens to get more and more used to it, to get that command of the cutter.
Yeah, I mean, it's not so much side work as it is being in the moment and just having success with it and building confidence that way.
Now, you had that outstanding outing against the Dodgers. You almost had the no-hitter. It came right down to the wire there, the last batter. Tell us about your emotions of that as it happened, and even how much you thought about it after, when Seager got the base hit against you.
I think I thought about it probably for the next day or so, just how close it was to being something very special, where you kind of, at least have your name in some kind of history around here, which is something very special. But moving forward, I think I just use it as confidence, something to build off of, something to, just kind of boost myself when I'm, maybe not having, the successes that I'm looking for. Those are games that you can go back to and show yourself that this is something you've done before.
What was going through your mind in the ninth inning? I mean, for the average person, I mean, I know, I'll tell you an example for me. I was bowling, and I almost had a 300 game. I had 9 straight strikes, and then I threw a split on the 10th frame right down the middle, and I didn't get it. So what was running through your mind? Because, you really want to press to get it. What was happening there in the ninth inning?
I was just enjoying myself, to be honest. There was no pressure of letting it happen. There hadn't been all night. The defense had taken, so much of that out of my hands, where it was – really just a matter of attacking, and these guys are going to make plays behind me. But no matter what, we needed that game. It was, we couldn't get swept right there by somebody in division. So it was something that, I'm proud of, and it's something that I think moving forward I'll always be able to go back to.
Bruce Bochy gave you the chance too, because with pitch counts the way they are, people looking at pitch counts, he could have pulled you out of the game earlier. I mean, look at the Dodgers have had that happen twice. You've had Tommy John surgery that you've come back from. So do you appreciate that he let you do that? And was that on your mind, pitch counts? Do you even think about that late in the game?
I mean, I thought about it, probably as we got done with the seventh inning, I knew I was going to have to be pretty efficient, but I think that in that moment right there, I was very happy with Bosch's decision to actually just, listen to me and trust me that in that moment right there, I didn't feel like I was at any extended risk, so it was, I think it wound up working out pretty good.
To finish up, I know you got a couple of matchups with the Dodgers, and one of the reasons the Giants got you, they look at the Dodgers, they're not doing well against lefties. You already had that great performance against them. How much do you look forward to those games? I know you guys haven't given up on trying to catch the Dodgers.
Yeah, no, not one bit. I'm looking forward to the Cardinals, looking forward to my last, I don't know if I have 4 or 5 more starts left, but it's, just every day, even the days I'm not pitching, it's fun coming in here. It's, I think this time of year is where you realize what all year, all spring training and all the off season was for, and it's for these moments right now. So I think that's, what really drives me this time of year.
There's a lot of emotion too. I mean, this time of year, right?
Absolutely. I think you're in tune with the game a little more than you are maybe, say, in May.
All right, Matt. Hey, thanks a lot, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
That's Giants left-hander Matt Moore. Coming up, we're going to hear from Andy Baggerly from the Bay Area News Group right after this.
You have to admit, collecting World Series titles is a new trend for the Giants, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Ken Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combine their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Mercury, Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With four Marin locations, plus the marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
Before Thursday's game at AT&T Park, Giants-Cardinals, I had a chance to sit down in the Giants dugout with Andy Baggerly from the Bay Area News Group. Here was that conversation. Andy, it might be unprecedented what's going on with the Giants to have the best record in baseball going in the All-Star break and then the worst record here with a couple of weeks to go in the season. It's just a switch that I don't know that I've seen flipped like that in recent baseball history. What do you think about, you know, just the whole perspective of it?
Well, it would be unprecedented, Joe, if that's what ends up happening. I mean, this team was on a pace to win 111 games at the All-Star break, and they're playing now at a lower winning percentage than the Minnesota Twins in the second half. I mean, it really is two completely different teams, even though the personnel really isn't that different. In fact, they played a lot of the first half without Hunter Pence, without Joe Panik, and they got those guys back, and you think they're going to be stronger. And it really, I mean, I don't know how much time you have, but there's no simple answer. I think the schedule was harder in the second half. That's one factor. They went through a few ugly turns in the rotation right out of the break, which may have been a little bit of fatigue. And then they weren't catching the ball for a while, and then they weren't scoring. And I think they're down about three-quarters of a run a game from what they averaged in the first half. And now they've got a big-time closer issue, and there's nothing that bears your weakness more than an offense that doesn't score that third, fourth, fifth run, and you've got to win 2-1 games with a closer issue, and that just makes it all the more tougher.
Well, at what point is it a massive slump that's going on, especially with the lineup, since you brought up the lineup? At what point is it a slump, or is it, this is the identity of this team in 2016? I mean, you know, these guys are not producing the way they normally do.
Well, early in the second half, they just were not getting any hits with runners in scoring position. I mean, it was ridiculous. You know, 2-for-40, you know, things like that. And you think, okay, law of averages, it's going to change. They're making some hard outs here and there. And then they go from not coming through in RBI opportunities to not getting any RBI opportunities. And the thing is, they got to string hits together because they don't have a lot of power. Buster Posey, though, is on the longest homerless drought of his career. He hasn't homered since July. He's got one homer since the All-Star break. And that, of course, doesn't tell the whole story of the offense, but sometimes you need someone to step up and pop one. Brandon Belt was an All-Star. He'd avoided that kind of prolonged slump that really had kind of wrecked a lot of his seasons, and boom, he found it in the second half. Pence took a while to get his bearings back. Panik has taken a while to get his bearings back. And it's really up and down the lineup. Denard Span now is really going through some big-time problems. Angel Pagan's leveled off. They're not getting the top of the order to be dynamic and create opportunities. So now it's not a matter of they're not coming through. They're not even getting chances to come through, and nobody's hitting the ball out of the ballpark. So it makes for a pretty bad recipe.
You know, I was talking to Matt Moore about, you know, trying to enjoy the stretch run and all that. And I think it's different for a starting pitcher because you can let that last start go, and then you've got 4 days in between. For these hitters, when they don't have a good offensive performance as a team, I really do think it bleeds into the next game. You start pressing.
You can, and one thing to their credit, I'm going to say, they really could be taking their at-bats out in the field, and especially this infield has continued to play very good defense. Buster Posey is having probably his finest defensive season. He should win the Gold Glove at catcher. His throwing has been unbelievable. His receiving has been unbelievable. So he's not taking this homerless slump into the field with them. And that's what Bruce Bochy has said. He likes the focus that he sees, and he likes the work habits. If anything, guys are working too hard. That's why, you know, a night game here to open a series against the Cardinals, they don't show up until 5 o'clock for the 7 o'clock game. I think Bruce Bochy said, look, I'm going to lock the batting cage, and we're just going to strap it on and stop thinking so much. Just go out and be your talented selves and perform. And, you know, this team has been there. They have done it. They've won World Series titles with this core. But obviously the time is now. They've given up their entire cushion. And it really is amazing that they still continue as this Cardinals series starts to lead the wild card race because, I mean, really, it's amazing that they're in the position they are still.
We'll have more with Andy Baggerly from the Bay Area News Group right after this. If the hot summer has you thinking of ways to cool down, we have the best way to do it. How about a cool, refreshing dessert from Rita's Italian Ice of Hayward? Over 70 flavors of Italian ice to choose from and 8 flavors of their award-winning frozen custard. The combinations are endless. Made fresh daily on site, many of Rita's Italian ices include fresh fruit. Plus, they have frozen custard, custard cookie sandwiches, and custom frozen custard cakes. And Rita's of Hayward offers catering for all types of events. Mention the Sports Virus, and you will receive one free regular size Italian ice with a purchase. Rita's Italian Ice of Hayward, celebrating their first year at 26775 Hayward Boulevard. Cool off today. Speaking of Bruce Bochy, on the way in here, I'm listening to Pandora and Men at Work. You might remember that band from whenever, 20, 30 years ago. The song It's a Mistake comes on, and I'm thinking, that's exactly the song that could be played every time the Giants have to go to the bullpen for Bruce Bochy. Just about anything he decides, it's a mistake. So what do you think? I mean, how would you like to be Bochy right now and try to decide how to close out a game?
Maybe Wrecking Ball, to go with something a little more contemporary. I'm not sure. But you know what? You're right. It's Bruce Bochy has a very good reputation. Even before he won those World Series titles, he was very well respected for the way he could run a bullpen, the way he can manage workloads. Having Trevor Hoffman makes you look really smart, too. But, you know, this has been, I think, Bruce Bochy's most trying season for putting a bullpen together. And they started the year with Hunter Strickland, with Josh Osich, who's got a 97-mile-an-hour sinker. You know, it's really an unfair pitch when he's right. And they're thinking some of these young guys are going to emerge. Somebody's going to be a lockdown closer here. Or Casilla's going to do it. And really, everyone's been just inconsistent enough. And they've put some guys on the DL when they really haven't been hurt. They wanted to get them mechanically right. And I think Bruce Bochy's going along here, and he's thinking, okay, well, I can't trust this guy to get a righty and a lefty out in the same inning, but I can trust the percentages, and Josh Osich is, you know, 130 against lefties, and Strickland's better against righties. So he's going with the matchups. He's trusting the matchups over the men, and I think that's had a cumulative effect. Guys have gotten up more. Guys have been in games more. And I think that was part of the free fall in this second half, is all those appearances, all those times getting up, getting warm, has really come back to bite him. And Bruce Bochy would love to run someone out there and just trust them. And I think he tried to do that with Santiago Casilla beyond the point where a lot of managers would, until finally, you know, you reach a point where the people in the room have to have faith in their closer, the guy can get it done. Maybe it's Joe Nathan, because he's eighth all-time in saves and just has that stature. We'll see what they do, but they obviously have to get a lead to protect first.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting dynamic, because you think about Nathan, and he does know how to get hitters out. He may not have the swing and miss stuff that he once had. And Strickland, you would think he'd have the swing and miss stuff, but the problem with Strickland, I don't know if you agree with this, is that, yeah, he has the velocity, but a lot of the fastballs are flat. He's not hitting corners. He can't command the fastball, and he's not getting enough swings and misses with the slider. So, I mean, it's hard to just hand him the baseball at the end of the game, in my opinion.
You know, and I think you look back and you realize how good that bullpen was, or that core four over the World Series teams. And you know, you look at a Javier Lopez who can match up against any lefty, and he obviously has issued a few more walks, not quite as successful this year. So Sergio Romo has not been as durable this year, spent a lot of time on the DL, but they had those two guys to match up, and they had Brian Wilson or they had Romo in the ninth, and a big key was Jeremy Affeldt, because he could, you know, he's a former starter, he's got a resilient arm, he could get somebody out in the seventh, sit down, get back up, get hot again, get two more guys in the eighth, a lefty, a righty, it didn't matter, and, you know, all his stuff dived down. He would throw the ball in the dirt, he would get guys to chase, and he never gave up home runs. You look up, he'd give up one home run or two home runs a year, and when you're pitching in tight games, that obviously is something that can lead to a blown save faster than anything. We saw it with Ryan Schimpf of the Padres the other day. We've seen it with Casilla against Jake Lamb. And I think that this bullpen's given up a few more home runs maybe than some of these World Series bullpens. So, you know, these guys, again, they want to get into the postseason. They'd love to catch the Dodgers. If not, they do lead the wild card race. But if they do get in, how are they going to protect leads in the postseason with a very different bullpen? It really would be very interesting to see, but they got to get that chance first.
More with Andy Baggerly in just a moment.
Hey, how'd you get those cool new shirts for the trade show so fast?
Access!
Who makes all that great clothing for high schools and colleges?
Access!
How do I get my company logo embroidered on some nice polo shirts?
Access Uniforms is your go-to resource for customized clothing. Just call us to find the right product, email your artwork, and your order will be on its way directly from our factory right here in Burlingame. Call Access Uniforms at 877-755-LOGO. That's 877-755-L-O-G-O.
How do you view the trades that were made at the deadline? I mean, you got three players here. Eduardo Nunez, who, you know, what is not the same guy that he was in Minnesota, apparently. Matt Moore almost threw a no-hitter. I mean, he started out inconsistent, but, you know, he seems like he's on the rise and can help you against the Dodgers. And Will Smith, who, you know, maybe if he was really on, he could be the closer answer. I'm not sure.
Well, Nunez is a guy that they thought could add some dynamism to the lineup, and he has at times. But the other thing he buys you is a little bit of time for Christian Arroyo to develop. Maybe he plays a full year at AAA next year. You've got Nunez under club control, and then maybe that spot can be Arroyo's in 2018. So he buys you some time, and maybe can add a little more athleticism, a little more speed, because speed doesn't slump, as they say. In the case of Matt Moore, you know, they gave up a lot to get him. They gave up Matt Duffy, who's out for the year after having the surgery with his Achilles was just bothering him too much. He was getting that heel bone shaved down. So you look at if the Giants had not traded away Duffy, well, they probably wouldn't have him anyway. He'd be on the DL. But Moore is a guy that, you know, they're looking at the rotation saying, you know, we're still a little bit light after spending $250 million this past offseason on Johnny Cueto and Jeff Samardzija. We really can't afford to spend more money on that rotation, and there's going to be nobody out there anyway. And they look at Moore, a lefty. The Dodgers don't do well against lefties. Having a second lefty in the rotation with Bumgarner was something that was attractive to them. They think Moore is an up-and-comer, and he's under club control for several more years. So now they're really kind of set in their rotation. They can let Matt Cain battle it out with the kids for the number five spot next year, and they can really focus on maybe going out and getting a closer like a Mark Melanson or finding a couple ways they can add some more offense. So, you know, that trade I think was very much forward-looking in addition to helping them right now. And then Will Smith, you're right, a guy who they're hoping could be maybe that Affelt because an Osich hasn't stepped up, an Okert hasn't stepped up. So they have to look outside the organization for that guy. They love his size. They love his durability, a guy who's led the league in appearances in the past. But he's had a little trouble getting settled in. So they see him as an important part of this team going forward. They gave up their number one pick, Phil Bickford, to get him, so they paid a pretty steep price for a lefty reliever. So they obviously, you can tell, they think a lot of him.
Yeah, and Andrew Susak as well. To finish up, if the Giants don't catch the Dodgers, how do you size up this race for the wild cards, which right now it seems like nobody wants it. Teams are just losing left and right. And then whoever does come out of that alive in that one game, oh, yeah, you get to play the Chicago Cubs with the Cubs having the home field advantage. Just great.
Well, you know what? And I actually look at the Cubs and I think maybe they're more prone in a five-game series than a seven-game series because those five-game series can be wacky. They really can. Now, of course, if you do get to the wild card game and you're the Giants, you probably have to spend Madison Bumgarner in that game. Now, we know that Bumgarner can pitch on ridiculously no rest. We've seen it in Kansas City in 2014, but I don't think that you're counting on him starting more than one game in a series against the Cubs if you have to use him in a wild card game. And by the way, if it's against the Mets and it's Syndergaard versus Bumgarner, wow, that would be quite a lot of electricity in the ballpark. And it would be in Citi Field, by the way, if they finish with identical records because the Mets won the season series.
Should be interesting. Andy, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy this series against the St. Louis Cardinals and beyond.
Thank you, Joe. You as well.
That's Andy Baggerly from the Bay Area News Group. Want to thank him and Giants left-hander Matt Moore for joining us tonight from AT&T Park in San Francisco. We'll have more guests on Friday from the ballpark as Ray Woodson from KMBR joins us, and Ty Block, left-hander with the Giants, will also be our guest. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on the sportsvirus.com and now on KNBR.com.